This is a prayer and praise night. I hope you brought your Bibles. Okay. Thank you, singing company. That was amazing. That ushered me into the presence of God. Thank you, families. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, the Croc dancers and singers. Isn't it great to be in the Croc Center? Isn't it great to be in the Croc Center? Isn't it great to worship in the Croc Center? And I know a lot of time has passed. We have a lot to do. I won't be long, I promise. But I'm so glad I walk into the Croc Center and I worship. And I open the Bible. And then I'll play, all right? But we do this first. And I love that Croc has that right. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, I want to hear those Bibles. Okay, if you have a phone, it's okay, all right? Sunday mornings, you should have a real Bible, okay? It's a Friday if you have your phones. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Let me introduce myself. My name is John Kim. I'm from the Mayfair Community Church on the north side. North side? Yeah. Cubbies! All right, I won't go there. All right, but... Yeah, it's great to be here. We love Croc Center. We're Salvation Army. And it's just my privilege to bring the Word of God tonight. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 12, down to verse 20. Here's the Word of the Lord. Quote, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Quote, everything is permissible for me, unquote, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, unquote. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never! Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body, in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Amen. Can we pray? Father, I pray that your word would be clear, would be challenging, and it would be applicable to all of our lives. May we live according to the Bible. Counterculture. Pray that we would live, I pray young people in this room would live counterculture and live according to the word of God. We'd be a holy people, holy young people that walk around in the streets of Chicago in the schools that are not holy. These people would be holy. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts tonight be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we talk about sex? Shall we talk about sex? Let's talk about sex. It's all over your minds, the media, the movies, the commercials. Everything you watch has sex, sex, sex. Let's talk about it. But let's use the Bible, okay? Is sex a good thing? Is sex a good thing? Who created sex? God! Does God create anything bad? Absolutely not. So is sex good? Heck yeah, it's good. All the married people, come on. It's great. You better not be nodding if you're not married. All right, we'll get to that. Yeah. Sex is great. I've been married 5 years. Sex is great. But like most things God creates, that's good. Because we are sinful, we live under sinful nature because of Adam and Eve, our ancestors. We distort things that are good. We smear all over God's good creation. We corrupt things that God meant for good. And I don't think anything epitomizes that more than sex in our culture. God created it to be good, great. And all over your commercials these days, all over your advertisements, movies, don't even talk about the internet. It's corrupted. It's smeared. We're smearing God's gift all over and making a mess. Premarital counseling, if you're ever to get married, four things about sex. Okay, we're just going to talk about sex. Okay, four purposes of sex. Number one, procreation. Amen. I have two kids. Tyree, amen. All right. We have procreation. God gave us a means to populate the earth, fill the earth. That means have sex. Amen. Number two purpose of sex in marriage is recreation. Amen. God meant it for enjoyment. He could have just said, okay, touch her, you should get pregnant, and you'll have a baby. But he gave us the most intimate and joyful experience we can enjoy in the safety of marriage, and it's recreation. Okay, it's kind of a funny word, but recreation. Number three purpose of marriage, communication. There's no more intimate verse in the Bible than Genesis 2:25. It says, the man and his wife were both naked. Naked, and they felt no shame. There should be one person in this world, okay, if you're not a baby anymore, okay, there's only one person in this world that you should be able to be naked with and feel no shame, and that's your spouse. God meant it. And it's the most intimate communication you'll have, and you just don't know until you're married. The most intimate communication you'll have. It's not just your bodies. It's everything. Your heart, your emotion, your spirit, your soul. Any way you want to describe it. It's most intimate communication. And you get to grow in that as you marry. And number four purpose of sex is glorification. God created it for enjoyment. When we enjoy God, things that God gives us, we enjoy it and we do it His way, we give glory to God. Picturing the unity of Christ in His church, that's marriage, you would give glory to God. Sex is a good thing, but our society has taken the good gift of God and smeared it. I say we look to the Bible, the owner's manual of sex, and let's be a holy people. Amen? Amen? Your schools are not holy. Your TVs are not holy. You have to be holy. Amen? I think God has a word for us. I think I have your attention, okay? Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, a very immoral city, sinful city. It was a thriving port city, infamous for its prostitutes, sexual vices, immorality. No strangers to sexual temptation. These people came out of that society and became the Corinthian church, and Paul is writing to them. I see this is America, sexually charged, sexually immoral. Everything goes in America. I say he has a word for us today. Dealing with sexual immorality. Point number one. Know that sexual purity matters. Know that sexual purity matters. If you read me with me again in the Bible, verse 12. Everything is permissible for me. In the NIV, that's in quotes. Paul is quoting Corinthian slogans that the Corinthians used to tell each other. They were a free society. They had no hindrances. We can do anything. And that seeped into abuse of freedom, abuse of Christian liberty seeped into the church. You say everything is permissible. I say not everything is beneficial. You say everything is permissible for me. I say don't be mastered by anything. Food for the body. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, quote, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Paul's saying, you say anything goes. I say sexual immorality is not beneficial. You say I can do anything with my body. I'll explain why they felt that way. I say sexual immorality will enslave you. And Paul says, don't be mastered by anything. Side note, with any activity that you do, whether it's sports, whether it's games, whether it's using your phone, whether it's whatever you do, ask this question: does this enslave me? Am I a master to this? Sports, games, my phone, this person, sex. Am I a slave? Nothing should enslave you as a Christian. Will it help me spiritually? Is what you have to ask of every activity that you do. Does this help me? Does it not enslave me? If you're enslaved by anything, you need to let go. You need to let go no matter how. You need to throw that iPhone on the floor if it's enslaving you and taking away from God. Okay? But sexual immorality definitely will enslave you. Food for the stomach, stomach for the... What is he saying? The Corinthians believed in this thing called a false dualism between spirit and body. Okay? It was a Greco-Roman thought. Greece and Rome, they were the dominant cultures. They thought I could live in the body on this earthly plane and my spirit could be living in this plane and they're not really related. So they thought the purpose of this slogan, food for the stomach, stomach for the food, was to articulate a sense of distance between the deeds done in the physical body, especially matters relating to food and sex, supposedly the spiritual level of life, which some would like to think it was a higher plane and it wasn't related. So they were saying, it's okay. I can do whatever with my body. My spirit is okay with God. Look, there's prostitutes everywhere. Temples everywhere. What am I supposed to do? Not give in to my desires? God doesn't really care. Paul says God will judge body and spirit. Paul says it does matter. Yeah, I say today there's false dualism. In your schools, I know your friends tell you, it doesn't matter. Why won't you have sex before marriage? Everyone's doing it. Look at Snooki. Everyone's doing it. It's just your body. It's just your body. I could just, you know, then you can go to church and your spirit will be fine. Sexual immorality, I want to tell you, matters. It matters to God. It matters to you. We can't separate our body and our spirit. Hey, Dietrich, can I hang out with your body today? Does that work? Or can I have a deep conversation with your spirit? Dietrich, can I hang out with you? That's his spirit. That's his body. That's his soul. That's his emotion. That's everything. You don't separate. We are one. We are a unit. And you can't say, oh, my body can do this stuff and my spirit is fine. I'm fine. You can't say that. Here's a myth. Having sex before marriage is no big deal. Society will tell you, maybe even your friends tell you, maybe even you believe that it's no big deal to have sex these days. Everyone's doing it. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal. The problem is that we're so inundated with images, with celebrities, these people that we as a society adore and worship. We don't even think of it anymore. Sin has huge consequences. Sex has huge consequences. I'm not even talking about pregnancy or STDs. I'm talking about for your soul. The damage, emotional devastation that comes with being used is indescribable. It'll do damage to your soul like nothing else. Sexual immorality matters to God and to you. Girls, I'm talking to the girls, you have to, when you're interacting with the guy, maybe he's cute, maybe he's well built, you have to be able to tell the difference between a person who really cares for your soul, your spirit, someone who is pretending to care to get with you. The dumbest thing a girl can tell me about her new boyfriend is he's so nice. But he's so nice. Of course he's gonna be nice. Is he gonna be mean? Is he going to be mean when he wants to get with you? Of course he's going to be nice. That's the dumbest reason you can like a guy. I'm serious. He's got to love God. He's got to fear God. Anyone could be nice. Anyone can act nice. You have to be able to tell the difference. And if you have insecurity, and the first guy that's going to be nice to you, you're going to give yourself to, you got to take that to God. You got to find security in God. You're going to mess up your life. Okay? I want to talk to young people, and God can redeem anything. I have a word for that. Okay? God is God. But before you go down a path, okay, I want to tell you, you have to be able to tell the difference. But then, you know, guys don't just use girls. Girls use guys too, you know. Girls use guys for security, for status, emotional well-being. The feelings of being used, it goes both ways. And if sex was no big deal, these kind of feelings wouldn't exist. We wouldn't struggle with it, but we do as a society, we do. Sex is a big deal. Know that sexual purity matters. Sexual purity matters. Tell your neighbor. Sexual purity matters. Don't tell Snooki, or don't let Snooki or the situation tell you it's no big situation. To have sex before marriage, it matters. To God, it matters for you. Number two, dealing with sexual temptation. Number two, unite yourself with God. Unite yourself with God. This is how we fight sexual immorality. Verse 17, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Why would Paul say this in the middle of talking about sex? But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. He's continuing to debunk this false dualism. And he's saying when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we became one in body, in spirit with Jesus. It's a picture of sexual unity. It's a picture of sexual unity. When we received Jesus, we became utterly one with him. Kind of weird to think about God like that. It's because we distorted sex. Think about these questions. What's the purpose of sex? What's the purpose of sex? It's oneness. Okay? Sex is oneness. Two becomes one flesh. It's a picture, total physical picture of what happens spiritually. Two become one. Did you ever ask this question? Will there be sex in heaven? Will there be sex in heaven? Okay. Maybe, maybe not. Well, Jesus said there'd be no marriage in heaven. And so I don't think there'll be sex in heaven. But guess what? We won't need sex in heaven. We would be so intimately one with our Savior and Lord. We'd be so intimately one with one another. We won't need sex. The picture, Paul says, is when we receive Christ, we become one with him in spirit and body. One with God and one with one another. That's a picture of community. That's a picture of community. So how do we fight sexual immorality? Unite with God. Unite with God more and more. Think of becoming one with God. Not that guy, not that girl. With God. Fill your mind with desires for God. Read the Bible. Turn off the computer. Throw away that iPhone. Read the Bible or read the Bible app. I'm almost done. I'm at 2 Timothy. I started January 1 in my iPhone because I was playing too much Scramble with friends. And I said, I'm going to read through the Bible. And I'm on 2 Timothy. I'm 90% done. Trying to redeem my iPhone as I ride the train to work every day. You need to fill yourself with God. You need to be married with God. You need to grow in love with God. Your desires have to be for God. Grow in your marriage with God. He will never use you. He will never abuse you. And his love will perfectly fill your heart and your desires. Love God. Unite yourself with God. That's how we fight sexual immorality. Go for the greater stuff. The cheap stuff. just take your taste buds away for God. Go for the greater stuff. His word, his presence, his love, his in worship more and more. This is how we fight sexual immorality. Another good rule if you're dating, never miss church because of a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Never let a boyfriend or girlfriend take you away from a prayer and praise night, a weekday Bible study, a Sunday. Oh my goodness, you're going to miss Sunday because of a boyfriend? Are you kidding me? Are you putting that guy before God? Are you kidding me? Draw them closer to God. Let them draw you closer to God, not push you away. Never miss a Sunday, any church activity because of your boy. Go together. Dealing with sexual immorality, number three. Flee from sexual immorality. Verse 10, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually against sins against his own body. This is the Bible. The Bible singles out sexual sin. It does. It says, all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. What's it saying? Sexual sin. I think it's saying sexual sin. The Bible is making it stand out. I'm not. The Bible is. All other sins we commit with our body, outside his body. My hands sin, my feet, my mind, my heart. We go to places, we say things, my body sins. But the Bible says sexual sin, by definition, is sin against my own body. Not to mention a sin against another's body, temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't mess. Don't mess with sexual sin. Here's the most practical advice for sexual immorality. Flee. Run. Bolt towards the door. Just run. Even if you're half naked, run. Get out of there. Run. It's a picture of Joseph, Genesis 39. We'll get to that later. We'll get to get the heck out of there. Get the heck out of there. If there's any hint of sexual sin, immorality that's going on in your relationship, just get the heck out of there. Just run. Just bolt. That's what the Bible says. Do you not know that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with it. Say, I will not defile the temple of God. Run. These things are many temples of God. The Corinthians would have known. There's temples everywhere. Lie the body. Paul says, this is your temple now. It's no longer a building. It was a body. They carried around God literally in their bodies. Don't you dare take God into sexual sin. Bodies ought to be yielded up to God and set apart for his use, not used for sexual sin. God sets up this beautiful institution called marriage. And it's in marriage where the gift of sex can be utterly, totally enjoyed. Prerequisite for sex is marriage. Everyone knows that, right? Okay, just in case I wasn't clear about that. Prerequisite for sex is marriage. Sex was God's idea, so it's good. But it needs to be clear that the only sex that God approves of us is found in the context of marriage. The limits that God places on sex, hear carefully, is like a fence at the top of a cliff. The fence is not to ruin the experience of life or the view, but to protect you from falling over the cliff. The limits that God puts on sex is that fence. It is not to give you a horrible life, but to protect you from dangers that come when you go too far. God's fence for sex is marriage. Who's married? Okay? Everyone else, wait. I I want to equip you, I think I have slides, with God's word to fight sexual temptation. And you're going to, my church is tired of 1 Corinthians, but turn a couple of pages to 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. I want to give you a warning and three lies and three truths, okay, that we can take to fight sexual immorality. The warning, 1 Corinthians 10, 12. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Oh, this mess is not for me. I'm not going to fall sexually. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait on God. I'll be patient. I will say no to my desires. You be careful. Never overestimate yourself spiritually. I think it's equally bad. Oh, I'm never going to overcome this sin. And, oh, I'll never fall into this sin. Equally bad. You know, actually, I think this is worse. You know why? You know, I'll never overcome sin. You just need faith. You need more faith and that God can help you. This side, you need to be broken. And then you need faith. I think this is worse. Never think this sexual sin is not something for you to think about. Paul says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Number one lie. Number one lie. The lie is no one else goes through what I'm going through. No one else. No one else knows the temptation I face every day with that boy looking at me, with that girl that dresses. No one knows how much I struggle. No one knows how much I fight. Well, Satan's basic strategy is to isolate you and to say no one else but me. Satan's basic strategy is to say, make you feel you're the only one. Basically, Satan wants you to tug you away from community and isolate you. Then he has you. That's a lie. When we think we are the only one experiencing a particular temptation, we draw away. We're reluctant to seek others for help. But God's design was that we do this together. And actually, we all struggle together. The truth, no temptation has seized you, brother, sister, except what is common to man. People in the Old Testament, in this passage, he's going to look to the Israelites. They struggled with sexual immorality. They struggled with idolatry, just like us. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Basically, we are all struggling with it. Anyone not struggle with sexual desire, temptation? Anyone not? If so, can you please disciple me? And help me. I struggle with it. I'm married, but I still struggle with it. I have to put it in line with God's word. I struggle every day. Married people, does it end? Absolutely not. You have to fight now for you and for your spouse and your family. Satan wants to isolate you and make you think, I'm going through all by myself. No one knows. But the Bible says, no temptation is seized you except what is common to man. Amen? So what do we have to do? We have to confess our sins to each other, pray for each other that we may be healed. Amen? I hope in your core, I hope in your Bible studies, in your small groups, in youth college, prayer and praise nights, you have the freedom to share. I'm struggling right now with lust. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with letting go of this guy that used me. I hope you have the freedom. And we have to talk about it because we're so damaged in that area. I hope leaders encourage in your churches, in your cores, to talk freely. Bible says confess, pray that we may be healed. Amen? Amen? Let's not be scared of it. We see it everywhere. It's all over our minds. Let's talk about it. Number two, lie. The temptation is too strong for me to resist. Ever felt that way? It's all too common. People think it's just too big of a temptation. It's too much. I can't help myself. After all, I'm a sinner, right? That's why you need to memorize verses like this. Here's the truth. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Amen? That's God's word. Say that with me. Read the truth. Ready? And God, everybody, ready? And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, God is sovereign. He's in control of every molecule and atom and ant and person in this world in every moment. Jesus sustains everything by the power of his word. And he knows, he's sovereign over your situation. You have a way out. Lie number three, there's no way out except to give in. That's a lie. The truth is, read it with me. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Memorize it. Claim it. In the heat of temptation, when you think it's too much to bear, quote that verse. Jesus did it to Satan and he overcame. Quote that verse. God, you are faithful. You will not let me be tempted beyond. And there is a way. There is an open door. Let me see it so I can bolt. So I can run. So I can flee. You got to pray that. You need to equip yourself with God's word. In the moment of temptation, you need to recall it to mind and act on it. But the best strategy is not to wait till the moment of temptation. It's to put boundaries on your life. Okay? To put boundaries on your life so you're never in that moment of temptation. I've been married for 5 years, and my wife Lois and I'll tell you this, I love her. I love her to death, and we had a great wedding and marriage. The best gift that Lois and I were able to give to each other at the night of our wedding, July 7, 2007, was our virginities. The best gift wasn't all the money that her parents' friends gave us. It was the virginity, my virginity I gave to her, and her virginity she gave to me. And God knows I struggled. I was planning to get married at 22. I know I look 18, okay, but I was planning to get married at 22. God had me wait for 10 years. I got married at 32. And as a young man, you know, well-built and handsome, just kidding. That was Joseph. As a young man with desires, I struggled. But God was faithful. In the moments of temptation, he reminded me of those verses. Although I sinned a lot. Trust me, I sinned a lot. But God protected me from giving my virginity to someone else. And I thank God for that every day. Because the thing, when I talk to my friends that are married and weren't as blessed, the thing that they would share is the biggest struggle in marriage. It's the memories. It's the memories. You kind of don't have a delete button on your brain. I wish there was a format button. But you take your prior sexual activity into your marriage. And it's going to affect your intimacy with your wife. That's why I say don't mess it up. The biggest gift that you can give your future spouse on the night of your wedding is your purity. Don't mess. Flee. And let me testify, it's only by God's grace. God knows I'm the worst of sinners. I say that wholeheartedly with Paul. I am the worst of sinners. And God knows I put myself in situations when I was single that I could have easily, like this, I could have given up my virginity, but God showed me a way out. God showed, and I took it. Brothers, sisters, take it. Take it. Don't give in. Wait. Wait. Let me say a word. I know in this room, there's those of you who have lost your virginity already. Let me talk to you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. The word no in Greek means no. In Korean, it means no. Nunca. That's never. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Believe it, claim it, take your past sins to God. And he will declare that there is no condemnation. And he is able to give you a secondary virginity that you can give to your spouse on your wedding night. From this point forward, commit to it. Maybe God is even able to erase our memories. Is he able? Is God able? Of course he's able. He can do it. Maybe he can press a delete button, format button. And then you can take that to your spouse the day you get married. Let me give you some practical advice. A lot of time has passed. For those who are, especially in dating relationships. Number one, you need to talk about sexual purity with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, with your fiance. You need to talk about it. If you're not mature enough to talk about, let's be pure for one another, for the future, if God allows us to get married, then you're not mature enough to be in a relationship. So get out. Just get out. Say, I'm sorry, it's not you, it's me, and I actually mean it. It's not you, it's me, I'm not mature enough, I'm out. I don't want to sin against God, I don't want to screw it. I don't want to screw this up. Just get out. Deal with the emotional pain, but I want you to deal with that more than the other thing. Just get out. But you need to talk about how you can keep each other pure. That's number one. Number two, do many things in community. You know, going out, looking all nice, doing your hair, putting your makeup on, and going to a date, you're totally deceiving each other. Can I get an amen, married people? Come on. All right? You love one another when your breath stinks in the morning, when your hair is going six different ways, and you got boogers. That's when you love each other, not when you're all made up. Come on. Who are you trying to impress? Okay, when I got married, yeah. Lois used to take a long time coming down from her apartment. I loved her so much. I didn't mind. But, yeah, she took like 10 minutes. I was like, what's she doing? And, you know, of course, she's making herself up. And I appreciate that. But, okay, now I love her more because I see her boogers. And I see her. I see the things that you never want to see, all right? And I love her for every part of it. Do things in community. You know, when you're dating each other, you can really try to deceive each other. You don't even get to know each other that well, except for the faces that you put up in front of each other. When you're in community and you see that person interacting with that person that's not likable, that person that's new, that person that just came back to church, that's when you really learn about somebody. And then you do things together. This is beautiful. Church is meant to be where you do life together, where you have fun, where you cry together, where you worship together, where you marry each other. Why not? Why are you going to find someone out there? Find someone in here. Marry someone in here. Okay, if it works out, and you know, that takes, I know it doesn't work that way, but if God allows it, find someone in here. Look at all these beautiful people. As you grow in love for God, do things in community so that you don't tempt yourself sexually. Number three, avoid being alone together if you're dating late at night in the dark. That's good advice. Avoid being together late at night in the dark. You don't even have to pay for that one, okay? That's so good. Duh! Don't be late at night, when you're late and you're not totally functioning, say goodnight and go home. Okay? Number four, never, ever take your clothes off. Why would you ever do that? Okay? Don't even take, you know, an hour later, outer layer off. Just don't take your clothes off. Then you won't, you know, it's hard to, you know, with your clothes on. Right? You won't fall into that. Just keep your clothes on. Number five, establish boundaries. Establish boundaries. Same for non-dating people, okay, on your computer. This is what I tell my kids, my church. If you're struggling with pornography, if you can afford it, throw the computer out the window. Okay, if not, at least take the computer to a living room or maybe your parents' bedroom. Put boundaries in your life so you don't fall into sin. At least keep your door open. Never when you're alone. Maybe never after 10 p.m. Put boundaries in your life so you don't fall into temptation. Same with your girlfriend, boyfriend. You need boundaries. Trust me, the urges are too strong. You need boundaries if you're not going to cross it. And let me tell you, the strongest temptations Lois and I faced were at the period when we were engaged. And we know, we're gonna be, but not yet. Okay? So you need boundaries. All of you, if you're dating, you need boundaries. You need them to remain pure before God. Guys, let me talk to the guys. There's a great verse in Job 31:1. It says, I made a covenant with God to never to look lustfully at a girl. Okay? I want guys, all of us struggle with lust. Here's a practical advice. Keep your head up. Eyes up. I'm serious. Guys, when you're talking to a girl, look at their face. Keep your eyes fixed on their face. That's great advice. Trust me, that helped me so much. Okay? Just keep looking. They need to know that you're listening anyways. And then you need to keep your eyes on their face. Make a covenant with God. Promise exponentially, stronger than promises, a covenant with God that I will not look lustfully on a woman. Keep looking at their face. Communicate with them. Don't let your eyes wander, even when they're walking away. Guys, can I get an amen? Amen? I know. Okay, I hope you guys heard that one. Look up. Know that sexual purity matters. Unite yourself with God. Flee from sexual immorality. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Save the discovery of sex for marriage. Fight now. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Can you close your eyes? And last with the singing company to come up. But we're just going to, there's going to be nothing dramatic about this. I don't want people flocking to the front, okay? I want you to keep it between you and God. Close your eyes. And you know, God knows. You know, and God knows where you've been, what you've done. I want you to tell yourself at this moment that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to commit from this moment, whether you're a virgin or not, from this moment you will be pure. You will fight. You'll fight with God's word. You will stay pure. You'll be a holy, holy young person until the day God gives me a spouse, if he does. If not, then I will just love Jesus. I'll be married to God. I'll be married to Jesus. Okay? I want you to commit that you will stay pure. Be countercultural, young people. Be different. Okay? Let's pray in the quietness. Let's pray. Commit to God. And then we're done. Okay? You and God. Talk to him.
One last thing, the croc dancers are going to come and dance their way out, and us, they're going to usher us with that dance. Dietrich, are we ready? Yeah? Sort of? Kind of? Yes. All right, why don't you guys give a round of applause as they take their spots, and then it's a short dance. Just stick around for 2 seconds, and we're just going to have final announcements to get you on the way to the pool, the gym, and nachos. Here we go.
All right, dancers, there's been a slight change, okay? So rather than the stage, we're going to start do our lines on the floor. Got that? My little ladies that's on the stage are still on the stage, okay? We got it? So we're right in this middle part on the floor. Don't come to the stage at all. Everybody got that? Yeah? Dancers? Possibly?